Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.
Sources tell us the world's energy resources will be fully exhausted within 5 years.
Radio broadcasts. A red robot in a grassy field at dawn. Bad robot.
Space station was completed today, designed for a risky experimental mission.
On board the orbiting lab is the Shepard Particle Accelerator. If the astronauts can get the Shepard working, it would produce free energy, solving the Earth's energy crisis forever.
A long line of cars waits outside a gas station at night. Car radios fade in and out as the view tracks alongside the cars. A black woman in her mid-30s with a mane of shoulder-length curly hair crosses the street while talking on her phone. She climbs into one of the waiting cars beside a black man the same age with closely trimmed hair and beard.
Yeah. I'll tell him. Okay. Thanks. Do you move at all?
Forward or side to side?
Joe says you owe him a call.
Did he ask you?
I feel like honking the horn.
Yeah, because that's going to make us loads of new friends. Are you serious? Stop. Starting a trend.
All the lights go out at the gas station and beyond.
Oh, come on. That's like the fourth blackout today.
Fifth. Did he ask you?
She locks her eyes on him.
And?
You know what I said. I'm not leaving you. That mission could be years.
You said you could be back in 6 months.
Do you want me to go?
Joe knows what we've been through, and yet he still wants you on the crew.
There are other comm officers.
Yeah, but he called you.
Why are you pushing this?
Why do you think? Forget about me and what I want, which is for you to stay. Why do you think?
She softens as they maintain eye contact.
Because you're sweet. Because people are starving. Because our energy supplies are running out. And this mission could unlock an endless supply of power that could save us all.
If you go, you and I will survive. I'm afraid if you don't, no one will.
He gazes ahead, draws her hand to his lips, and kisses it. She knits her brow and stares out the window at the dark sky. Out of darkness, a view of planet Earth fills the screen, as seen from an orbiting space station. City lights, oceans, land, and clouds become visible as a brilliant sun emerges below the colossal globe. The space station's slowly rotating ring-shaped modules are backlit by the glow. Radio voices.
Accelerator system status?
It's holding for pre-ignition.
Shepard team, you are go for countdown.
We've all got our fingers crossed here at Mission Control. Let's make this first one count.
Status boosters.
No.
GNC.
No.
Power up.
Commander, Shepard team standing by for your go.
On my count. Three.
On board the suddenly quaking space station, the woman sits rigidly at a control room console, wearing a khaki flight suit with British flag sleeve insignias. A male crewmate with brown hair and glasses wears German flags on his sleeves. His equipment displays the words, Particle Accelerator Initiated, and Mission Day 16. An African-American man with short cropped hair surveys the control room tensely. A blonde Russian man stares at a radiating light in the ceiling. An Irish man with a scruffy beard, a dark-haired Chinese woman, and a bald Brazilian man complete the anxious-looking crew. Everyone suddenly operates their consoles with urgency. Flashing readouts change from in progress to unstable. Then the word failure appears, blinking in red. As the quaking stops, everyone is breathing hard and exchanging dismal looks. The African-American man radios Earth.
Huntsville, this is Commander Keel. Firing has failed.
Opening titles appear in white lettering. Netflix and Paramount Pictures presents A Bad Robot production. Starring Daniel Brühl, Elizabeth Debicki, Axel Henny, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, Chris O'Dowd, John Ortiz, David Oyelowo, Zhang Zi, Roger Davies, and Clover Nee. Credits are interspersed with a montage of scenes. Crew members in consultation react with anger and frustration. Mission Day 96. A photograph of the crew bears an insignia with all seven names. Keel, Hamilton, Acosta, Schmidt, Volkov, Tam, and Mundy. Mission Day 223. A view of a large glass tank full of wriggling worms. A wristband unlocks the control room door. Mission Day 496. The German crewman adjusts equipment. Red words flash. Particle accelerator failure. Day 623. A view of the particle accelerator, like an immense tubular skyscraper accessed via a catwalk deck. Casting by Denise Shamian. Music by Bear McCreary. Costume designer Colleen Atwood. Visual effects supervisors Russell Earl and Jason Snell. Edited by Alan Baumgarten, Matt Evans, and Rebecca Valente. Production designer Doug Meerdink. Director of photography Dan Mindel. Executive producers Tommy Harper, Robert J. Dorman, John Cohen, Brian Burke, Drew Goddard, and Matt Reeves. Produced by J.J. Abrams and Lindsay Weber. Story by Oren Uziel and Doug Young. Screenplay by Oren Uziel. Directed by Julius Ona. Mandarin language subtitles are incorporated into this descriptive narrative. The British woman awakens in her space station bed, her face moist with perspiration. She swings her legs out and sits in her underclothes, breathing hard. Her discarded flight suit bears the name Hamilton. She crosses to a computer and types. The monitor reads, "Calling Michael, searching for signal." The man from the car appears on screen in a sunny bedroom with an unmade bed.
Morning, beautiful.
Oh, sorry, I woke you.
No, look.
He holds a mug of tea and a clipboard.
I'm working. I've got a patient today with chemodactyly arthropathy, coxavary pericarditis syndrome.
What's that?
I'll let you know if I've done my homework. I'm getting sick of only seeing you on a screen.
You okay?
It's the rest of the world I'm worried about. I mean, you see the same news that I do. It's madness. Oil wars are spreading. Russia's threatening ground invasion now. Can you believe that? Ground invasion, which will only waste all their oil reserves.
Anyway, normal life is hanging by a thread. You?
We're all on edge. And we only have enough fuel for three more firings.
I remember.
If this doesn't work, I can't even think about what happens down there. I don't think any of us are feeling hopeful.
I miss you more every day. Like I miss them.
And maybe I'm an idiot. But I'm hopeful. And not just for the work that you're doing. We can't go back in time and know what we know now. But I was thinking, maybe when we get back...
Signal lost appears on Hamilton's screen. As she wipes away tears, glaring light alternates with darkness in a large round porthole at her back. Michael slumps back in his chair, then tosses a pen at his screen. Hamilton types something, then frowns at her monitor while a progress bar fills in. A video file plays showing home movies of Hamilton and Michael playing and romping with a little boy and girl in a house, a school, and a playground. Now the video image is projected on the porthole. Hamilton is curled up on the sill, her eyes closed, her hand pressed against the oversized round image as the children blow out birthday cake candles. A view from space shows Hamilton's porthole with the video image on it. Then the view widens to reveal a multitude of portholes on several ring-like modules rotating above the Earth. A title emerges in large white letters: The Cloverfield Paradox. An Earth newscast appears on a video screen in a recreation area where the Brazilian, Monk Acosta, is engaged in a rousing game of foosball with the Irishman, Mundy.
Welcome to American Sunrise.
In the adjacent dining area, Hamilton waits for a 3D printer to replicate an edible bagel. A handwritten message taped to the machine says, "Worst bagel machine ever." She puts the perfectly cylindrical bread product on a plate, then joins Commander Kiel at a table, where he sits with German and Chinese engineers, Schmidt and Tam. Hamilton and Tam address each other in Mandarin. Russian Volkov prepares a beverage in a flask.
694 days I've kept our O2, CO2, N2, hydrogen, water vapor, and methane at optimal levels. You know how many pressure leaks we've had? Not one. No microbe overgrowth, nothing. Do you know why?
This is a long speech, Volkov.
Because I disinfect the decks every 72 hours.
Well, I disinfect the decks, actually.
If you have a point, I'd make it now.
There's one part of this station, one part that is not working. This is interesting. You know what part that is? The Shepherd Accelerator.
Subtitles. Tam.
There are 8 billion people counting on us. What are you saying?
Volkov, I don't have a problem with you.
But your little German boyfriend over here, I do.
Go back to your quarters.
Don't treat me like you're my mother. You're not.
Okay, that's enough.
Hey, chill out, Volkov.
2 years on this station, and this man has delivered nothing.
Volkov!
Schmidt.
You need to think very carefully about what you're saying.
We both heard reports. Germany is preparing for war. And every day that goes by, more and more Russians are starving.
The others watch tensely as Volkov and Schmidt stand off.
Maybe you're not in such a hurry to get the Shepherd working.
Schmidt punches Volkov, then they slam each other around. Intervening, Kiel presses Schmidt face down on a table while Mundy grabs Volkov in a chokehold.
This stops now! If we can't keep our shit together up here, how can we ever expect them to do it down there?
Maybe they won't!
Keep your mouth shut. We have a job to do.
Later, a view of the space station complex in orbit. Then, while at work in the control room, the crew monitors Earth broadcasts.
Another test aboard the Cloverfield Space Station, the 47th test in just over 2 years, is scheduled for 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. All eyes are on.
This is Huntsville. We've got eyes and ears.
Morning, Huntsville. Shepherd, Kongju, Zhongxin, Shodama.
Zhilishi, Qinghuadao, Dengdai, Zhengsha.
Copy that. Schmidt, system status?
Green across the board.
Right this minute, they're testing a particle accelerator up there so we can learn how to make unlimited energy down here. But those who have accepted the Cloverfield paradox is real know how dangerous that is.
Shepherd holding for pre-ignition.
Commander, Shepherd team standing by for your go.
Diagnostic mode off.
Tam.
X-deck modification complete.
Commander Kiel addresses Earth Control.
Qingwen Dao, confirm pre-ignition sequencing authorization.
Control.
You're a go for accelerator pre-ignition.
Huntsville and Qingwen Dao, Control will call you post-blackout.
Copy. Stand by for protocol.
Monk monitors a TV broadcast.
Because that accelerator is 1,000 times more powerful than any ever built. Every time they test it, they risk ripping open the membrane of space-time, smashing together multiple dimensions, shattering reality, and not just on that station, everywhere. This experiment could unleash chaos, the likes of which we have never seen. monsters, demons, beasts from the sea.
To clarify, you believe their efforts to solve the energy crisis might unleash demons?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Volkov.
We're ready to take the Shepherd online. How's your station?
Hold on, I'm calibrating our expensive compass.
And not just here and now. In the past, in the future, in other dimensions. You have no idea how much I would love to be wrong about this.
Monk.
If you want to know more...
Turn that shit off.
Please.
Volkov inserts a device into its housing.
Gyro is calibrated.
It starts to spin.
My station is good. Should ask Schmidt, is his station good?
Jesus Christ.
Please, Mr. Monk, hit us with your holy stick.
Oh, come on. Not now that we really need...
Monk Acosta lowers his head in fervent prayer. Schmidt and Tam exchange irritated looks while the others close their eyes solemnly.
The farther we travel from home, the clearer it becomes that there is a power infinitely greater than us. Please show your mercy and allow the Shepherd to work this time. To provide the energy we need. To prevent our countries from going to war. Please, God, be on our side. Amen.
Keel.
Amen.
Mundy.
It was righteous.
A cylindrical actuator column with a glowing center descends from the ceiling. Schmidt.
Back to work. Sunday school over yet?
Keel.
Schmidt, power up.
Keel inserts a large transparent key into an ignition trigger on his console, while Schmidt inserts one into the actuator column. Tam operates power output on her console.
Sequence running. 32 ignition.
Schmidt.
Commander.
Keel nods.
3, 2, 1. Come on.
Keel and Schmidt simultaneously turn their ignition keys. The space station quakes as beams of light fill the massive particle accelerator.
Please, don't break up on me, baby.
A bobblehead ornament on Mundy's console nods furiously. Tam's power output reading climbs to 27 teravolts. The particle accelerator glows and shakes. Volkov watches radiating light in the ceiling porthole.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Tam smiles as the power output reaches 50.
We have a successful collision.
What's our output?
We have positive energy flow for the first time. Look at this. Look at this.
Holy shit, you did it!
It's working. We are focused at 47 teravolts.
Oh, man. Hamilton's new screen mode.
They watch the accelerator on screen.
Yes. Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's pretty.
It gives a burst of light, then goes black and shuts down. A flashing screen reads, overload, activating emergency shutdown.
Schmidt, tell me something.
Designate 6-7.
Several screens explode and shattered glass flies everywhere. Crew members are knocked to the floor and a blinding flash of light obscures their view of Earth. A reversal of gravity causes everyone to fly up to the ceiling. Then they all crash back to the floor. Tam scrambles to her feet and reads her screen. It says, fire detected on X deck. Schmidt and Tam rush to the X deck catwalk and find the accelerator ablaze.
Extinguish the systems on now!
Tam.
Then we ventilate.
In another corridor, a security door slides shut in front of the other crew members.
I need 63M open now!
Oh no. Something's wrong here, guys. It's all scrambled.
Mundy flips switches on a panel box. Meanwhile, Schmidt and Tam enter an X-Tech operations room and secure the door. Schmidt presses buttons. A screen reads, ventilation enabled. They watch through a window as the smoky atmosphere around the accelerator is sucked away and the fire extinguished. Later, everyone is in the control room.
Jinghuan Dao, do you copy?
The O2 tanks are leaking. Our reserves are severely diminished.
Jinghuan Dao, do you copy?
The systems are scrambled. There is absolutely no guarantee any executable will function as expected.
I'm rebooting the comm system. I'm not picking up anything.
Okay, what else?
Life support at 74%. Main power is fried, this is backup. Temperature is all over the place and nothing gets better until Mundy and I get our hands on it.
We got the gear to fix all this?
Not by long shot.
We can request an ECL, get him to send some supplies.
Doesn't make any sense. The device was output.
Damn, please kill that
massive amount of energy. But then there was some kind of malfunction.
Really, Schmidt, there was a malfunction.
Kiel. It isn't there.
The frequency for mission control?
The Earth. I can't find anything.
We must have gotten turned around, moved during fire.
Well, it's big, blue, full of angry people. Keep looking, you'll find it.
Double-check the radio target, but the target's gone.
Guys, the systems are scrambled.
Hamilton's right. It's not here. We're not picking up any signals.
The entire Earth is not gone.
Cycle the external cameras. All of them.
Images from external cameras appear one after the other on a large central screen. They show various space station modules cycling against a sweeping backdrop of black space and stars.
Wait. Are we saying this thing of his could have thrown us across the galaxy? We knew it was dangerous. That's why we had to go up in space to fire this thing.
No, come on. Bullshit.
Panic crew members rush from the control room and go running through various corridors. Mundy stops to look up through a porthole. He sees only space and stars. Inner quarters, Hamilton types furiously, then gapes at her monitor as it reads, calling Michael, searching for signal. Elsewhere, Tam and Monk arrive at another porthole and look out breathlessly at another view of empty space. The message on Hamilton's monitor now flashes with red words. No signal found. She steps back, breathing hard with her mouth agape. The space station complex travels through black space toward a distant glowing sun. A view from distant space reveals a long vertical core with a large central disk rotating atop it and several revolving rings connected around it. Next, the view tracks through a deserted corridor with white lighting embedded in a floor grate. Red lights illuminate curved walls lined with panels and conduits.
You did this! I never trusted you!
Son of a Mokov!
We all did this! The Earth is gone! The Earth is gone!
Well, are you sure we've checked everything?
Mundy, you've asked that question 6 times.
But it's a good bloody question, isn't it?
This is your fault. Of course you're blaming me for this.
Who else made this happen?
Who else?
We've been working on this for 2 years. You know the
rest. Mokov's right. The Earth is gone.
You don't know somehow. We did.
Look out any goddamn window.
We're missing the Earth.
Kiel sits on his bed, quietly weeping, while light strobes in a porthole behind him. He nods with resolve, taps his head with his palms, then stands up. He finds the crew sitting around the dining table, each one staring gloomily. Mundy's hand is bandaged.
All right. Here's what we're up against. The station's got problems we don't have tools to fix. At this point, looking for home is a luxury for us. First, we need to survive.
We need to consider, evidence or not, that we might have ended the lives of billions of people.
We didn't destroy the Earth. We just lost.
Totally routine day, copy that.
Mundy, take Schmidt and deal with the O2.
I'm a physicist.
And now you work for Mundy.
Oh, your lucky day.
Tam, you and Monk, we're gonna search and repair all power leaks. Maybe we can get this temperature under control. Hamilton, Volkov, test all circuits. Then we can start looking for home.
When the Shepard overloaded, something went wrong with the station's orientation system.
We're gonna replace the circuits.
No shit, if that's the problem, but it might be the gyro.
Then let's get that fancy compass fixed.
Later, Hamilton discovers that the gyro compass device is missing from its housing.
Volkov?
Yes.
Found the problem with the gyro.
What, it's fried?
It's not here.
You mean it's not here? I secured this when we fired the ship.
Hamilton observes him with a puzzled expression as he rubs his right temple and pulls at the skin around his eye socket. Suddenly self-conscious, he stops and turns to her.
Does this look okay?
She nods. They jump and turn toward the noise. Then they explore the corridors and search around apprehensively. Mundy and Schmidt tread warily through a different corridor. They stop and turn sharply to look behind them. Elsewhere, Monk and Kiel march into another corridor, stop, and look all around. A security door slides open as Mundy and Schmidt pass cautiously from one dimly lit corridor to another. They quicken their pace, come to a corner, and stop.
Tam.
They see Tam staring at the wall with her hands on her hips.
Tam?
They run to her.
You all right?
She gingerly presses her ear to the wall panel. They jump back. Then the others arrive.
What is that?
Tam points.
It's coming from inside the wall.
In the wall?
No, walls don't make noises like that.
We have to open it.
Open it.
Slavkov, get the tools! Valky! Look it, before you rip off that panel and damage God knows what, can we at least discuss it?
Look, Bundy's right. It could be dangerous.
We should open it!
No, wait, stop!
Yes, we gotta
open
it. Stop! We're doing this.
All right, good luck.
Hamilton shines a light at the wall while Kiel and Volkov use power drills to remove screws from the panel.
Three, two, one.
They pull the panel away. Everyone leaps back in horror at the sight of a mangled and bloodied blonde woman entangled in a dense network of pipes and wiring.
We're here. We've got you.
Hold on, hold on.
We have to cut her free.
We can't cut anything. Those lines going through her body are power lines.
Mundy,
cut the power.
She's hurt. We can't.
Hold on.
Mundy presses controls on a breaker box.
We have a choice. Stop it. We don't know what that is.
Shut it out.
Hamilton draws near and makes eye contact with the woman while others snip wires around her.
Just go.
All right, we cut her out.
Help! Bleeding out!
We can't do anything until she's out of the wall.
Guys, hurry! Help me! Hamilton! Hamilton!
She just said your name.
What's happening to me? What's happening? We're gonna cut you free.
Quick!
Can
you hold her leg out of the way?
Okay, okay.
Kiel saws through a pipe that has impaled the woman's shoulder. In the infirmary, they rest the woman on an examination table with the pipe jutting through her shoulder.
Careful.
All right, all right. All right.
Be okay.
They cut off her pant leg, then recoil at the sight of wires threaded through her thigh. Monk injects something into the woman's leg.
Keep her still. All right, all right. Okay.
Hamilton holds the woman's head in hand to comfort her as she shudders and gasps. The woman calms down, then passes out. On Earth, Michael awakens in bed and sits bolt upright in darkness. The room shakes. He gets up and peers through his window blinds as an explosion sends flames into the sky. He rushes to his phone and flips through a barrage of social media messages. Anyone know what that was? What's happening out there? It's the Russians. It's the end of the world. The south side of downtown is rubble. What happened to the warning system? Get away from the city as fast as you can. Now he checks news reports on his laptop.
No official public statement has been made about what caused the explosion that was thought at first to be a nuclear weapon. But we are being assured by authorities that is not what this is.
Michael, you and Cole?
On the phone.
Good. Yeah, I saw it. Has the hospital issued code orange yet? Shaw said what did it? Jesus Christ.
The space station crew watches through a window as Monk tends to the woman calmly sleeping in a medical bay.
This is madness.
Calm down.
We can't stay calm. I want a woman lying there.
Who is she? And what the hell is she doing?
She knew my name.
We're all going mad.
I'm not gonna say it again. We have to stay focused. We have other problems to deal with.
Speaking of other problems, how the hell are we supposed to find the Earth? Without the gyro, we're lost. Any ideas? Because honestly, I'm stumped.
Tam.
You're assuming Earth is still there.
Earth disappears. Station does not feel the same. A woman appears in the wall. We're definitely not in Kentucky anymore.
Kansas.
Kansas. Really? Who gives a shit?
People from Kansas?
I don't know what's going on, but one thing is clear. Shepard's done it, which means it might also undo it.
Right now, the integrity of the station is all that matters. We have repairs that need to happen immediately. Monk will give us an update when there is one. Let's get to it.
Hamilton stays behind, watching through the window as Monk administers a cellular growth accelerant. Then watches a progress bar fill in on a medical monitor. Walking down a corridor, Schmidt and Tam converse in Mandarin. Meet me at X deck in 10 minutes.
Kiel wants me with him.
I'm done with Kiel. You and I need to take control if we're ever going to get home. Crew members head off in different directions. Now a view of the vacant recreation area is followed by close-up shots of the plastic foosball figures. Rigid little men with painted faces and uniforms screwed to a series of rotating bars suddenly start spinning of their own accord. They abruptly stop spinning. Meanwhile, Mundy is collecting supplies in a lab area. He stops what he's doing and stares into an empty glass tank.
Hey, the worms are missing.
He speaks into his wristband communicator.
Guys, the worms are gone.
Tam and Schmidt on X deck catwalk.
Can't synchronicity.
I did. I told you I did. We have to think about the fact that...
Bullshit, no.
There might be a larger problem.
We're going to solve this thing.
What if we can?
But we will go. Damn it. Who else can fix this up here? No one. Now you focus and you get your shit together. You understand me?
She grabs him.
Speak to me like that again, and you and I will have a bigger problem than the shepherd. You copy?
He nods.
Give me the wrench.
She releases him. He holds the wrench out to her. She grabs it, but he doesn't release it. She tugs furiously, then he lets go with a smirk. She softens and makes eye contact, then returns to her workstation. In Volkov's quarters, a line of wooden nesting dolls adorns a tabletop. Volkov studies his face in the bathroom mirror while pressing and stretching the skin around his right eye, cheek, and forehead. He jumps back suddenly as his eyeball rolls to one side and stays wedged there. No! He clenches his eyes shut, then rubs his right eye. When he looks again, the right eyeball is still off kilter. He rubs it some more and applies pressure. It wedges against the other side of the socket, then rolls back into its normal position. He gapes at his reflection, reacting as if someone is speaking to him.
What? Excuse me. Yes. I know.
Now in the dining area, he checks over his shoulder before inserting a thumb drive into the 3D printer. The display reads, Security Protocol Override. He watches with a grim expression as the printer begins to replicate a handgun. Mundy is doing repairs in a corridor. He inserts a canister of Magno Putty into a large caulking gun. He squirts a daub of gray sealant against the corner of a wall panel, then inserts a prong tool into it. The putty spreads along a seam and seals the panel. Meanwhile, the printer makes a boxy compact pistol. Volkov loads a clip into it and exits the recreation area. On X-Deck, Tam reads data on a tablet.
Hey, Schmidt.
Look at these moisture levels.
Volkov comes through a door, approaches on the catwalk, and points the handgun at Schmidt.
What are you doing here?
No. What are you two doing up here? Against Commander's orders.
I don't answer to you, Volkov.
No?
No.
And who are you answering to?
German intelligence?
Where did you get that gun from?
Please put that down.
Chancellor Gerlach?
Put that gun down, Volkov.
Is it Gerlach?
Volkov gags and coughs.
Stop it! Who gave you the wartime orders?
Put the gun down! You need help, Volkov.
To sabotage.
Drop it!
Are
you crazy? Put that gun down!
They back away as Volkov turns red, doubles over, and coughs up white foam. He trembles violently, falls back, and convulses. Next, he is comatose as they lay him on the medical examination table.
Mark!
Help!
How long has he been like this?
Tam, he tried to kill us.
Tam, why do you have a gun?
He came to us on X-Deck, threatened us with this.
Lock it away.
Now there's a gun? Since when is there a gun? What happened?
Tam stows the handgun in a secure locker. Volkov spasms violently and coughs up blood.
What's going on?
We have to help him!
Volkov abruptly becomes motionless.
No.
The others slowly draw near to his body.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
Everyone leaps back, stomping frantically as worms spew from Volkov's mouth, fly in all directions, and fill the floor.
Well, we found the worms.
Commander Kiel stares at Volkov's lifeless eyes and the repugnant mess around his body. Hamilton is in her quarters, gasping and wincing in flickering light. She sees that her image is missing from the crew photo, and the blonde woman is standing in Tam's place. Lights flicker in the medical bay as the blonde woman opens her blue eyes and blinks heavily. In her quarters, Hamilton receives an interstation communication from Monk.
Hamilton, she's awake.
Later, the woman is sitting on the edge of a bed in a white hospital gown, looking solemn but completely healed. She can see the others in discussion outside the medical bay window. Hamilton and Kiel exchange glances with her, then look at each other. The woman addresses Hamilton as she enters alone.
Ava. How are you on this station? I have the same question for you.
The blonde fights back tears.
I was heading to X-Deck. Find Mundy.
You know Mundy?
Of course I know Mundy. We've been on the station for 2 years. Mandy, Kyo, Volkov. Jesus Christ, Volkov. Everyone except her.
They look through the glass at Tam.
Who is that woman?
Who are you?
What do you mean, who am I? It's me. Mina. Mina Jensen. I'm the Shepard engineer.
No, Tam. Tam is the Shepard engineer.
What are you talking about? What are you even doing here? You're supposed to be on Earth.
Why would I be on Earth?
Because you're our civilian coordinator. We trained together since ExoMars 6. We're friends. I'm your friend.
We've never met.
How can you not know who I am? None of you know who I am.
None of us.
I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. But how can you not know me? Oh, how can you not know me? The Shepard engineer.
Tam prevents Kiel from intervening as Hamilton rests a comforting hand on Jensen's shoulder and yields to a hug.
Listen to me. Ava. Don't trust Schmidt.
What?
It was him. Schmidt sabotaged the Shepard.
Later, Commander Kiel opens Schmidt's personal file on a computer screen and looks through his communiques with Earth, three of which are marked confidential. He selects Admin Override, then German text appears on screen. Schmidt and Tam are engaged in diagnostic work as Kiel marches onto X-Deck.
Commander?
Kiel punches Schmidt.
What's going on?
Kiel, you should follow.
Have you lost your... Making a mistake!
Don't shout, Kiel!
Stay out of this!
Tam protests as Kiel forces Schmidt down on a corridor and into an airlock vestibule.
Jensen warned us about you.
The woman in the wall?
I checked your communication logs.
So what?
We deciphered your messages from the BND.
The BND?
We trusted you! For 2 years, Schmidt!
What are you talking about, Kiel?
You were ordered by German intelligence to keep the Shepard offline until Russia was neutralized.
I swear to you,
I saw the order.
I never received such an order. Have you lost your mind?
Maybe I am losing my mind, but I'm going to do everything I can to keep us alive and get us home.
Kiel locks him in and leaves.
Until I say otherwise, this is where you stay.
You're trusting her and not me. You need me, Kiel. Kiel!
On Earth at night, Michael makes a call while driving and listening to news.
Citywide destruction has been reported stretching from the downtown area to the residential suburbs.
Michael, are you safe?
No, I'm headed to the hospital. It's gonna be a mess. Listen, can you get this message to Ava? So I'm gonna be in triage for the next 72 hours.
Michael, listen. We're trying to get some answers here, but it's gone. The station. We lost signal.
What?
I know. We're scanning everywhere. It's off comms, off radar.
Did it break apart? Did the station fail?
We don't know. Look, I promise I'll get back to you as soon as I know anything. I'm so sorry. Just don't lose hope. I believe it's still up there. Somewhere. Michael?
I'll call you back.
Michael pulls off the road and parks the car. He gets out and wanders toward a mountain of rubble and ruins, silhouetted against a foggy sky. He stands and stares. A fallen power line explodes with a surge of sparks and white light. Michael looks up to see a giant moving shadow behind the fog and smoke. He treads cautiously amid smoldering ruins, his wide eyes searching the darkness. The power line surges behind him as he locates a shrieking fair-haired girl, about 8 years old, amid the debris. Mundy is working alone in a corridor. He squeezes some gray sealant against a cable joint, then he applies the prong tool. The sealant expands and hardens around the joint. He leans his hand against a panel, and his entire forearm gets sucked inside the wall. He struggles as the wall sucks his arm further in. He braces against the wall and pulls. His arm gets sucked all the way in, right up to the shoulder.
Money.
Get me out of here!
Keel arrives to find the wall dragging Mundy around by his arm. He grabs hold of Mundy and tries to pull him free.
Help me!
Hamilton, help me out!
Okay, it's pulling me further in!
Hamilton arrives. She stares for a moment, then helps pull Mundy out. The three of them topple onto the floor.
Oh, man. Has anyone ever seen anything like that before?
Guys?
He follows their gaze and looks down to find that his arm is missing.
Where's my arm?
Oh! Where's my bloody arm?
In the infirmary, Monk has a look at Mundy's arm stump, severed just below the shoulder.
No pain.
No. Not physically.
He's like he was born this way.
Except I wasn't, was I?
He's in shock.
Can you stop talking like I'm a kid and these are my parents?
The perfect stump shows clean marbled flesh around a central bone.
I don't know the rules now.
Do you think there's any chance it might grow back?
I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore.
The lights flicker as Monk walks out. Schmidt sits glumly in the airlock vestibule. The locked door slides open of its own accord.
Is this your way of apologizing? Kiel?
He treads warily into an empty corridor.
Kiel?
He stands still, looking around and listening.
That's a dog.
He hurries to a comm station and calls the control room.
I need the whole crew on deck as fast as you can.
Who let you out of the airlock?
Just get here now.
The others rush to his side.
What is it?
He points at the floor.
What is that?
Mundy's detached arm is pulling itself along the lightning grate with his bandaged hand. A wristband and shirt sleeve around its forearm.
That's my fucking arm.
Schmidt and Tam carry the wriggling arm to the recreation area and set it on a table. Keel dumps out a glass container of food packets and traps the arm inside.
Are you controlling it?
Of course I'm not controlling it. It's over there.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure, because I'm giving you the finger right now.
How is that a lie?
Logic doesn't apply to any of this.
One thing is clear. The overload did it. None of us believed it was real, but this is the paradox.
Excuse me?
Particles interacting with each other across two dimensions.
Okay, I'm gonna sit down.
Two distinct realities in a multiverse, fighting to occupy the same space, creating chaos. These aren't the things we know, because they don't belong to us.
Jensen.
My communication logs.
He locks eyes with Keel.
Guys, check out my arm.
The arm is mimicking the act of writing.
I think my arm's trying to write something.
Somebody get a pen. Schmidt?
They briefly lift the container, and Mundy slides a pen in.
Go. Oh, that's creepy.
The hand writes on the tabletop, then rests as if exhausted.
Kos Vagov open?
Looks of disbelief are exchanged around the room.
What are you talking about, Arm?
In the infirmary, Monk unzips a body bag, exposing Volkov's corpse. The others are gathered around.
It's nothing personal, Valky.
Mundy.
What? He's our friend.
He was about to shoot me.
Well, you know, before that.
Guys.
Monk stands over the body in surgical gloves, scalpel poised.
Monk?
Sorry, I can't do this.
Man, you're the doctor.
Tam.
I can handle it.
Tam pulls on a pair of gloves and takes the scalpel in hand. She makes a straight incision down the center of Volkov's chest, then carefully pulls the flesh apart to reveal the body's innards. Jensen watches through the medical bay window as Tam puts her hand inside the chest cavity and gently gropes amid moist red organs.
There's something.
Everyone gawks incredulously as she pulls out the missing gyro compass and holds it up.
No. What the way, Jose?
Come on.
Later, the sanitized gyro compass is inserted into its housing. It lights up and starts spinning. Then, Hamilton runs a scan of space on her control room workstation.
So we're hoping that the piece of equipment you found in someone's stomach is what's going to save the day. Good luck, everybody.
Putting it on the view screen.
A constellation appears on the central viewer.
Look, it's Cassiopeia.
It's upside down.
We're upside down. Guys, we moved and we're upside down. Check the other side of the sun.
Scanning.
Stars and planets become visible around the sun, then planet Earth appears on the viewer.
Oh, my arm helped us find the Earth.
Targeting all receivers.
Incoming broadcasts.
Oh, I'd clap, you know, if I could.
Let's let them know we're still here.
We can receive, but we can't transmit.
Let's make that happen as fast as we can.
Let's request a shuttle and give him status on the Shepherd.
And have them send us some champagne.
Tam.
Or some dumplings.
Wait. Shh. Guys, listen.
Sources say the number of those killed today could be even greater than the Blitz on Berlin. The 14-month-old European war shows no sign of resolution. This as China sends warships further west.
What the hell are they talking about? What's going on down there?
All Chinese embassies. All this with nations still reeling after the destruction of the Cloverfield space station.
Hamilton, is there a video?
Space station wreckage floats in the ocean.
Oh my God.
View screen mode.
Experienced a catastrophic failure just 2 days ago. Losing its brave crew of six, debris from the Cloverfield has crashed into the Atlantic Ocean. Salvage crews are en route. President Usman is set to make a statement from the Rose Garden at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I don't get it.
It's much worse than we thought. It's not just particles of two dimensions interacting. We've traveled to another one.
To another dimension? So, hold on. If that's not our Earth, can someone please explain to me how we're supposed to get home?
We have to get the Shepherd fixed and fired again. What we know about quantum entanglement dictates it should bring us back, and perhaps undo the damage we've done.
It doesn't matter what Earth that is. We should go down and get help.
Tam.
We need to go home, to our home. Look at them, at their war. That will be us if we can't get back.
I'm with Monk. I say we go to that Earth, the one that we can actually see, and get the hell off this station.
That place cannot save us. The longer we stay here, the more dangerous it is. For us, and for everyone back home.
A view of billowing fire in the sun's atmosphere. Then on Earth, Michael is driving at night with the girl as his passenger. He tries his cell phone.
All circuits are busy now.
I can't get through to your home yet. The circuits are busy. That means no calls will go through.
I know what it means.
He reads a text message. Don't come. Hospital destroyed. Stay safe.
My uncle's dead.
There's nothing you could have done. Molly. Molly. We're gonna find your parents. The most important thing right now is keeping you safe.
He rummages in the glove compartment, locates a packet of candy, and gives it to her.
Thanks.
He sends a text message to a contact named Peter saying, "You still out of town?"
Shouldn't text while driving.
You're a smart kid. Only in emergencies. Disqualifies.
Peter replies, "Yes. Holy shit. Can you believe this?" Michael types, "Can I use your shelter?"
What did this?
We're not sure. Bad things are happening. But good people are going to make it better.
We're going to need a lot of good people.
Later, Michael carries Molly into a dark underground bomb shelter and sets her down on a cot.
I'm gonna close the door.
He shuts and locks the door. He turns on a light, revealing a concrete block room with basic furniture and kitchen facilities. He opens a cabinet and locates a first aid kit. Then he sits with Molly and goes about redressing her injured arm.
Let me look at your arm again. I'm gonna do a better job this time.
On the space station, Monk brings a plate of food into the medical bay where Jensen is being held.
Thanks, Monk. You got it working, didn't you? You got it working. Something went wrong. Shepard smashed a Higgs boson. Overloaded. Somehow you ended up here. Your dimension crashed into mine.
The lights flicker.
Crew must be working on power. Trying to fire the Shepherd again to get you back home. Could you do me a favor? Would you mind mentioning to your crew that you're escaping my dimension or trap me in yours?
Tam confers with Schmidt on X-Deck.
I've been thinking, when we put out the fire we ventilated, what if condensation caused the Shepherd to overload? Ventilation could fix that. Run the numbers. I'll check the circuits.
She heads down a corridor and enters an airlock vestibule. As the door locks behind her, an on-screen message reads, O2 stable. Then an error message flashes saying, H2O breach. She goes about her work and starts to pull an insulating sheet off the wall. Meanwhile, on X-Deck, Schmidt runs a ventilation simulation on his computer. He grins as the word, successful, blinks on his screen. Tam pulls on the sheet and loses her footing. She looks down to see that she is now standing in water. She turns in circles as a flood of water suddenly erupts from the overhead vents. She yells into her wristband communicator. She passes her wristband over the door scanner, then tugs at the door. A short circuit causes sparks, and an alarm is triggered in the control room, where Keel and Hamilton lock into her communication.
Amdek, I need help in airlock 6. I can't get out.
She wades through shoulder-deep water and pounds on a window at the door, then her eyes scan upwards, looking for an escape. Keelan Hamilton arrived to find her holding her breath underwater and banging on the glass.
Hold on!
It's jammed. We've got to try and override it. Tam, we're going to get you out!
Hamilton works on the door lock components. Mundy arrives.
Hurry!
It's not working!
Come on, come on! Mundy, let's do it manually!
The three of them tug on the door while Tam swims up to the ceiling for air. A view from space shows the airlock's exterior portal starting to buckle. Tam holds her breath and swims back down to the window. She looks out to see Schmidt arrive.
What's happening?
He helps the others tug on the door. Tam and Schmidt exchange desperate looks through the window and press their open hands against it. The portal bursts outward into space and the water instantly freezes. Keel yanks Schmidt away from the window as it ices up and emits fog. As the fog clears, Tam's frozen face can be seen staring through the frosty window. Schmidt pulls away from Keel and approaches it tearfully, while the others look on with distraught expressions. Schmidt stares at the window.
Tam figured out what we've been doing wrong. Condensation has been throwing off our numbers. We needed to ventilate.
We can't stay here. This dimension is eating us alive. We need to fix the Shepherd and use it to get home.
We can't.
Not without Tam.
Maybe not.
Next, Keel and Hamilton confer outside the medical bay while Jensen sits on the edge of her bed watching them through the window.
Are you sure about this?
In the bomb shelter, Michael tries his phone. Molly is propped up against a pillow watching a robot cartoon on a tablet screen.
Joe, anything?
Not yet. But there's no debris. That's a hopeful sign. We're looking everywhere. I promise we'll figure out what happened to them.
It's a goddamn paradox, isn't it? You can't find the station because it isn't here anymore. And they did this too. What's happening here?
Michael, I'll call you as soon as I know anything.
Look, I just need you to write this down. I need you to contact Andrew and Nancy Pontanius in Philadelphia. My phone's not going through. Just tell them that their daughter Molly is okay.
The shelter quakes, the lights go out, and red emergency lights flicker. Michael and Molly rush to each other, and he holds her tight. Meanwhile, on X deck, the crew observes Jensen performing diagnostics in her hospital gown.
Can you install Tam's algorithm?
Yes. We don't want all of Schmidt's work.
What?
Done.
Here.
Once we get the Shepherd operational, we give her your work. We put her on an escape pod and we send her home with the specs. What do you need?
Power. Parts of the core are irreparably damaged. What's left isn't sufficient to fire.
How much?
I'd like 210 kilowatts for at least 8 seconds, possibly as much as 12.
I'd like to take a bath with identical twins and a tub of rocky road.
Figure it out. Hamilton, get Jensen whatever she needs. Let's get this done and get the hell out of here.
Hamilton shows Jensen into vacant quarters.
Can change in here.
Thank you.
Nothing of mine would fit you, but try this.
Thanks.
Hamilton provides a uniform for Jensen, who is taller than the rest of the crew.
You know, as odd as it is for me to suddenly have you up here, I realize it must be much stranger for you.
Maybe I'm not the same Ava you're friends with.
No, you're the same. A little sadder, perhaps. Situation calls for it.
Hamilton collects some linens from a cupboard while Jensen organizes personal items.
Mina. Did you know my family?
Of course. Michael. Isaac. Diana.
And your friend was strong enough to stay.
Stay where?
On Earth. After the fire.
What fire?
The power cell. The one I put in the house so they could have reading lights at night so they would feel safe. It killed them both.
Jensen picks up a remote control and plays a video call recording on the porthole screen. The alternate Hamilton appears in casual clothes, surrounded by her cheerful family.
Hi, Mina.
Hamilton gasps, covers her mouth, and cries.
Ava. In this world, your family's alive. They're on Earth. That's why you didn't come up here. You're down there. With them.
Hamilton sobs and leans against Jensen, who embraces her. In the dining area, Mundy spreads out schematics on the table.
If I divert everything non-life supporting from the station, I can get us up to 170, maybe 180 kilowatts.
That's not enough.
210, I know. So I started thinking about what life supporting elements we could sacrifice, which is when I landed on this. If I shut down the O2, I can get us up to 240.
Power down the O2 pumps.
There are six of us. That gives us 2 hours of oxygen, more or less.
So we turn off the O2 pumps, fire the Shepard, then route the power generated by the now operational Shepard, and restart the pumps. That's clever.
I'm clever.
Hamilton walks in.
Gil, I need you for a minute.
Gil and Hamilton move out of earshot.
Anything you need, I'm here to help. I won't let you down.
We're all dealing with a lot. We've just got to keep it together.
They're alive. In this place, my children are alive. I'll do everything you need to comply with every order, but if we do get the Shepherd to fire again to get back to where we came from, I won't be here.
You want to take a pod?
With Volkoff and Tam gone, there are enough vehicles for everyone.
Ava.
This goes against regulation, I know, but I don't care. I need to go to see them.
What about Michael? And Jensen said you weren't on the crew of her mission. That means you're down there too. Ava, that's not your family down there. That's hers. What's gonna happen when you get there?
You will never understand what this is like.
No, I won't. But as much as you want to see them, this isn't right.
This isn't just about me. The Ava that's down there wants the same thing I do. I know her. She'll steal energy for her family just like I did, and they won't survive. I don't just need to see them. I need to save them. Michael would want me to.
Okay.
She returns to the dining area where Jensen has joined the group, poring over schematics.
Turn off the oxygen. The pumps will need to be deactivated from the maintenance ring.
Yeah.
That means you'll be working inside a giant oxygen tank. One spark and...
Kaboom! Yeah, no, I get it. Kentucky Fried Monday.
That's not funny.
I'll be on my comms through 27. Yeah. Interstitial first, and then head out on the upper ring.
Hamilton stands in the background and exchanges looks with Jensen.
Let's have a look at some of the problems we're going to come into.
Listen, Caleb, trust me. Even with one stumpy arm, I think I can get this done.
A view of the space station's massive ring modules rotating as the complex moves through space. In a maintenance corridor, Mundy wields a caulking gun with one arm. He applies Magno Putty to a joint in an open panel. Monk and Schmidt stand by in the control room. Keel waits on X-Deck with Hamilton and Jensen. He speaks into his wristband comm.
All right, Mundy, what's your progress?
Shutting down the auxiliary.
Mundy has a wrench in his mouth.
I can't understand anything you just said.
I'm nearly ready to transfer the oxygen.
Mundy flips a series of breakers, then applies the prong tool to the putty.
Okay.
Standing by on X-Deck.
Ready on in.
All right, Mundy.
Mundy flips levers to close the oxygen pumps.
Okay.
The oxygen's pouring in. I can feel it.
Where's the power, Jensen?
Test the actuator.
On her screen, power climbs to 225 kilowatts. In the control room, Monk and Schmidt smile as the glowing actuator column descends from the ceiling.
Mundy, good work.
Whew.
Gotta say, the pure oxygen in here is sweet.
Whoa. A magnetic force yanks the wrench from Mundy's hand and sticks it to the opposite wall. Then Mundy is yanked to the wall by his tool belt.
Mundy?
Mundy frees himself and hurries away from the wall as other metal objects go flying at it, stick, and vibrate there.
Guys? Do you have any magnetic issues?
Mundy?
Mundy now walks slowly toward the magnetic wall. Behind him, gray Magno Putty fibers pull away from the newly sealed joints and extend toward him in long tendrils. The Magno Putty tendrils grab Mundy from behind, yank him back, and interweave around him. Monk and Schmidt turn to the view screen to see Mundy entangled in vine-like tendrils.
Mundy!
The others arrive in the control room. Everyone watches the view screen in horror as the tendrils crawl over Mundy's face and penetrate his eyes, nose, and mouth. A CO2 canister flies into the magnetic wall and explodes. The entire space station shudders as a fireball rips through one of the module rings and blasts into space. Debris and wreckage fill the view screen. The damaged module now dangles precariously from the core of the complex. Afterwards, in the dining area, as Jensen looks through the blueprints and schematics, her uniform name patch comes into view. It reads, Mundy. The lights flicker as she finishes looking through everything and approaches the others.
Maintenance deck gets more unstable with every rotation. It's only a matter of time before that thing rips the station apart. The ring's spinning off axis by 17 degrees. Anything more than 25, it won't hold. We'll all be in pieces.
So we decouple the maintenance ring.
If we're going to survive, we have to.
Not you, not Jensen. To do that job in the time we have, it'll have to be the three of us.
He exchanges looks with Hamilton and Monk. Next, the three of them are wearing spacesuits.
I want to give you some comforting advice, but I have no idea how this is going to go. Gravity will be unpredictable, so be sharp. Follow my lead.
Schmidt and Jensen monitor consoles in the control room.
This Schmidt that betrayed you, you realize he's not me, right?
She looks over her shoulder at him. Standing at the threshold of the breached area, the three watch debris whip around an enormous gap between their section and the maintenance module.
Oh my God.
Wreckage continues to rip free of the space station. Shards of rubble fling through the gap, then go flying into space. Structural connections grind against each other and deteriorate.
This isn't gonna hold much longer. Let's get across.
Keel hooks himself to a pipe, then starts swinging hand over hand across the gap.
Monk, get moving!
Monk stays put, staring across the gap with wide eyes. Jensen's screen flashes a warning.
The ring's at 20.2 degrees.
Monk is halfway across the gap when a burst of steam causes him to lose his grip. He lands on a platform.
Monk, you're almost there! 21.5 degrees.
The pipe breaks. Monk falls to the end of his tether and dangles upside down amid flying debris. Keel throws him a hook and reels him in.
Monk, look at me! Give me your arm!
22.3. Hamilton, you need to hurry.
Hamilton starts climbing across trusses on foot while Keel pulls Monk to safety on the other side. Almost there, Hamilton jumps from one level to another and loses her footing. Keel grabs her by both hands and pulls her to safety.
23.4 degrees. Keep moving.
We're clearing the debris.
The three of them move wreckage out of the way that blocks their access to the maintenance module. Keel opens two consecutive doors and they enter an airlock vestibule. Keel engages a decoupling crank, then strains to turn it.
It's jammed!
23.9 degrees. We have to jettison that ring.
Keel stops straining and stands pensively.
What is it? Keel?
We have to shut down the hydraulics. Let's go.
24.2 degrees.
Monk and Hamilton leave, and Keel slams the door.
Wait, Keel, what are you doing?
To decouple the ring, this portal has to be locked.
Wait, no, Keel, we can do this
remotely. I'm the commander of this station. I have to do this. You can get the station home. You can do it. There's no other way. You have to. It's okay.
Jesus, the ring's at 24.8 degrees.
Keel and Hamilton stare at each other through the window in the door. They maintain eye contact as Hamilton backs out and locks the second door in place. She remains watching as Keel returns to the decoupling crank and turns it several times. Tears stream down Hamilton's cheeks as she watches the maintenance module detach from the core and spin into space, with Keel contained in its airlock. Later, Hamilton and Monk arrive safely in a pressurized area with their helmets in their hands. She bangs her fist repeatedly against the wall. Sitting in the control room, Schmidt doubles over with his head in his hands. Jensen looks at him with a solemn expression, then stares at her console in silence. A view through a porthole shows the detached module ring floating in space. In the bomb shelter on Earth, Molly lies sleeping while Michael watches an old video call with Hamilton playing on his phone. He reads a new text message from Joe. Reached Molly's parents. They're so grateful to you. More later. He breathes a sigh of relief and smiles at the sleeping girl. He holds up his phone and records a new video of himself.
Hey, beautiful. Just in case I don't make it through this, what I wanted to say the last time we spoke was, maybe we'll try again. I can't defend the idea now. There's no time to think about what we could have done or what we'll do one day. The only choice we have is to save the people that we still can.
Space Station Control Room.
What's our oxygen level?
We've got 43 good minutes left.
We'll prep the Shepard to fire twice. Once to overload, which should get us home. Then again with Tam's equation programmed in, which should give us the energy we need. Jensen, copy all our data from the Shepard and take it home. This should eventually help your planet. Schmidt, get the Shepard to countdown mode. Here's Kiel's firing key. Jensen and I will take Pod 3 down before you fire the Shepard, and hopefully get home.
Okay.
She gives the key to Monk. Schmidt and Jensen remain working in the control room. A progress bar fills on her screen as she copies data. She looks over her shoulder at Schmidt going about his duties. Then she stares ahead pensively. Next, she pries open the secure locker in the infirmary and takes the gun. Moments later, Jensen and Hamilton enter the shuttle pod with their gear. A screen reads, pre-launch sequence engaged. Hamilton takes her seat and starts inputting commands. Then Jensen wallops Hamilton across the face with the gun.
Ava.
Hamilton slumps, out cold and strapped in her chair. A view screen targets a destination on planet Earth. Jensen activates the pod's launch countdown starting at 2 minutes. Then she exits the pod and marches down a corridor. Hamilton comes to and looks around in a daze.
Jensen.
She snaps her attention to the launch countdown, now at 30 seconds. She turns to an array of surveillance screens and spots Jensen marching down a corridor with the pistol in hand. Then she gapes tearfully at the landing target on planet Earth. She unbuckles her shoulder straps, leans forward, and enters commands on the countdown timer. The screen reads, override, and stops at 4 seconds. She removes her remaining seatbelt and rushes out of the pod. Monk is occupied at a workstation in a corridor as Jensen approaches.
We all set on X-Deck?
He looks up to see Jensen pointing the gun at him and turns to face her.
What are you doing?
I need the firing keys. I can't let you take the Shepard.
I can't do that.
It's not a request, Monk.
Please, Jensen.
The lights flicker as she shoots him.
I'm sorry, but I need that key.
He is slumped on the floor holding a stomach wound as she takes the key from his belt and advances toward X-Deck where Schmidt is working. Hamilton finds Monk writhing on the floor.
No. Monk.
She cries as she looks into his eyes and applies pressure to his wound. His head turns away, and he goes limp. She looks up with rage in her eyes. Jensen shoots Schmidt in the stomach.
I won't let you take the Shepard away from my world, Schmidt.
Hamilton arrives.
Jensen, please.
Why have you come back? You could have gone home.
We were a crew.
We were never a crew.
Stay away from her, Hamilton.
This had to happen from the moment you wiped my crew, my station from existence. You can't have it both ways, Ava. Your family here, but the Shepard there.
You had everything you needed.
We couldn't rebuild the Shepard fast enough. Think.
People are dying down there every day. So you're just gonna kill us?
If you're asking me if I'm willing to kill three people,
to save 8 billion. Wouldn't you?
She turns the gun on Hamilton, and Schmidt slashes her leg with a wrench. Jensen's shot hits a wall.
Go!
Hamilton runs off while Schmidt grapples with Jensen. Jensen manages to shoot Schmidt in the shoulder. She watches him fall to the floor, then she takes off in pursuit of Hamilton. Hamilton runs into the recreation area, breathing hard, eyes wide, mouth agape. She dives behind the dining table and hides. Then Jensen enters and walks through slowly, the gun aimed and ready as she searches for Hamilton. Crouched on the floor, Hamilton watches Jensen's feet pass by the dining table.
Ava, don't fail them again. That is your family down there.
Hamilton notices Mundy's arm trapped in the glass container, tapping its fingers as if bored.
The same kids. The same man you married.
Jensen presses controls on her wristband, and Hamilton's alternate family video call starts playing on a nearby screen.
You don't know how bad it is down there. It'll only get worse.
Hamilton sneaks across the room and hides under a desk. Jensen turns in her direction.
Listen to their voices, Ava. They need you.
She creeps toward the desk.
You may be willing to kill your children again. But I won't let those people down there die.
Hamilton jumps out, whips a dinner tray at Jensen, and slides across the dining table. Jensen starts shooting. Hamilton dives under the foosball table, then hurls an oxygen tank at Jensen. Jensen drops the gun. Hamilton yanks a rod out of the foosball table and beats Jensen with it. Jensen throws Hamilton onto a couch, straddles her, and starts strangling her. Hamilton presses a button on Jensen's wrist control, causing gas to shoot up into Jensen's face. They tumble around on the floor, grappling for the gun. Hamilton stares at the video playing on a porthole screen. She forces the gun up and fires several shots through the porthole. She snatches the ignition key from Jensen's leg holster, then latches onto a desk. Jensen gets sucked across the floor and splayed against the cracking, splintering porthole with the video playing on it. Hamilton runs out and the door locks behind her. The porthole glass shatters completely, and Jensen is sucked out into space. Gasping for breath, Hamilton's attention is riveted on a video screen. She watches her alternate family laugh and tickle each other. Then her alternate self beams at the camera with a look of pure joy. Hamilton gathers her strength and runs through a corridor. In the infirmary, she removes the bullets from Schmidt and bandages his wounds. She hurries to a control room station and brings the communication system online. Then, in her quarters, she records an outgoing message for the alternate Ava Hamilton.
I don't know where to stop. But this isn't my world. As much as I want it to be, it isn't mine. Thank you. It's yours. Ava. You're not losing your mind, I promise. There's no other way to say this. I'm you. I have to be quick. Attached to this message are detailed construction and operation plans for the Shepherd Accelerator. I'm praying it helps your planet. I have the same hope for mine. I need to say two things that won't make sense to you. But please hear me and understand how important these both are. First, if you've installed a power cell at the house, take it out, now. It's wrong and it's dangerous, and if these plans work, you won't need to siphon power anyway. And two, whatever you're doing right now, whatever meeting you're in or wherever you're going, stop. Go to your husband and your children. Right now. Go to them and hold them. Hold them for as long as you can. Kiss them and love them and know how blessed you are to have them in your life. That's all there is. That's all there is.
Her finger hovers over a command button. Tears roll down her cheeks as she presses it. Later, Hamilton and Schmidt are in the control room, geared up in spacesuits except for their helmets. The actuator column descends. They insert their keys in separate consoles. Their eyes lock, and Schmidt gives a determined nod despite his sickly pallor.
3, 2, 1.
They turn their keys. The particle accelerator starts up and the space station quakes violently. Schmidt staggers back and braces himself in a chair while Hamilton clutches her console. There is a blinding flash of light as the accelerator overloads and abruptly shuts down. Hamilton and Schmidt exchange looks, then they turn and stare with astonishment at a view of planet Earth on the central viewing screen. Incoming communication startles them.
Cloverfield, do you copy?
Huntsville, this is Hamilton. Can you hear us?
Where have you guys been?
That's something of a conversation.
We can explain later. Listen, I'd rush an emergency team up here for repairs. Schmidt and I are all that's left. Huntsville?
What did you do up there? What's going on with the Shepherd?
Stand by.
Schmidt enters commands on his console. The screen reads, "Updating Shepherd." New data fills the screen, then a "Ventilation Enabled" message appears, and rows of boxes light up with the word, "On." An exterior view shows misty condensation being vented into space. Schmidt restarts the particle accelerator and watches the power output rise toward 50 teravolts. The accelerator glows with fluctuating purple light. Then it stabilizes and shimmers with white light.
Have a stable beam.
Tears fill their eyes as they smile at each other.
The Shepherd. He's working.
A view from space shows the particle accelerator gleaming in the large central ring atop the space station in orbit above the colossal planet Earth. Hamilton buckles Schmidt into a seat on board the shuttle pod before strapping herself in. They gaze at each other with tense expressions, then Schmidt softens and gives her a smile. In the bomb shelter, Michael is on the phone while Molly eats.
Michael, we got him.
You did? You found him?
Ava, the station. We made contact.
The pod separates from the space station and descends toward Earth.
She can't wait to see you. She's coming back.
You're having her come back to Earth? Do they know what's happening here?
No, there wasn't time. We lost contact.
Molly stops eating and fixes her eyes on Michael.
Listen, just get to the Delaware coast. She's splashing down at 4:30.
Have you lost your mind?
The station's been through hell.
You're having her come back to these things.
There's nothing we could do. They couldn't stay up there.
The pod falls toward an ocean.
Michael, there wasn't a choice.
There is a choice. Tell them not to come back.
Wait, listen to me. You have to.
Tell them not to come back. Tell them not to come back. Do you hear me? Tell them not to come back.
A view of blue sky and sunshine above fluffy white clouds. A ginormous monster with reptilian gray skin rises his head and shoulders above the clouds. As it roars, a snaking tongue extends between hooked fangs in its cavernous maw. Credits. Unit Production Manager Robert J. Dorman. First Assistant Director Mark Anthony Little. Second Assistant Director Andrew Ward. Co-producer Corey Bennett Lewis. Cast. Gugu Mbatha-Raw as Hamilton. David Oyelowo as Keel. Daniel Brühl as Schmidt. John Ortiz as Monk. Chris O'Dowd as Mundy. Axel Henny as Volkov. Zhang Zi as Tam. Elizabeth Debicki as Jensen. Roger Davies as Michael, Clover Nee as Molly, Jordan Rivera and Celeste Clark as Iana, Michael Stokes III and Nathan Oliver as Isaac, Donald Logue as author Mark Stambler, Suzanne Cryer as the newscaster, Ken Olin and Simon Pegg as radio voices, and Greg Grunberg as the voice of Joe. Visual effects and animation by Industrial Light and Magic, a Lucasfilm Limited company. Soundtrack album from Sparks and Shadows. with the participation of the State of California, the province of British Columbia, the Canadian Film or Video Production Services, Canada Film Capital, and Quebec Production Services. Copyright 2018 Paramount Pictures Corporation. All rights reserved. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.